can't believe a PMB meeting is so quiet.
That's out of order, Benito.
It is out of order. You're absolutely right. I stand corrected. I'm going to have a heart attack if this keeps up any further. And I don't even have a heart condition.
And the cause would be severe silence?
Exactly. Extreme surprise.
Hello, Jana?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, are we on the
board
call? Hello?
Hello?
Uh-oh.
I'm here.
Well, that didn't work. Did it?
Okay. We're here, Margie. We're here.
You were all on mute. Okay. So, Janice Lane Ewart, welcome. We are going to, the way this is going to work is that we're going to ask you to make a very brief statement about yourself and the radio station that you're affiliated with. And then you will be asked four questions by two board members. Once those questions have been asked, if there is time left, and our time limit for this is 20 minutes, if there is time left, then we will invite you. You will be asked questions by individual board members, okay?
Yes.
And so we have 20 minutes for the four questions, and then any time left over, we'll move on. Okay, so Janet Coburn, go ahead.
Just a moment.
I'm sorry, Janice. We're asking. I forgot the brief introduction of yourself and the station you're affiliated with.
I am affiliated with KFAI Fresh Air Radio, which provides service to St. Paul and Minneapolis and the Twin Cities. I've been involved with the station since 1989. 25 years, in addition to providing service as a volunteer in programming and the news department. I've also served on various committees, and I also served for 12 years as the executive director.
Okay. So now Janet Coburn and Jim Brown are going to ask you each two prepared questions, and then if we still have time, we'll go into the let individual board members ask you additional questions. So, Janet, go ahead.
Hi, Janet. Would you describe your understanding of the various resources, including personnel and governance resources, that Pacifica Foundation Radio has in place to support its over 150 affiliates, and how these resources interface with the affiliates?
It's my understanding that the resources available beyond personnel and governance to serve the interest of the affiliate stations include the sharing of programming through the audio port that was established over 10 or 15 years ago. Also, resources available to serve the affiliates stations would include interaction at the board level with other members who may have similar concerns about content or programming. I would also note that the affiliates are represented by two individuals who are also able to provide services to other stations through their work on committees for which they can serve as an auditor.
Hey, this is Jim Brown. What is your understanding of how
Pacifica Foundation Radio is governed overall, both nationally and locally, within its five sister stations, and how and where both national and station management fit into that governance structure?
It's my understanding that the governance structure of Pacifica National Radio is established established along several different prongs. The full national board is representative of each of the network stations and also the affiliated representatives at the national level. At the local level, the governance of the organization is established at the local station board level, at which individual stations elect members of their community listener and or listener members to represent the interests of the community and determine that those interests are best reflected in the programming and governance at the local level. Those local level representatives from each of the networks then come together with other representatives from across the five cities to represent the interests of the overall organization in an attempt to ensure that governance, programming, service to listeners outside of programming are duly represented and provide an opportunity for stations, network stations, and affiliated stations to work together for the interest of presenting programming, content, leadership, and to some extent, community activism at the national and local levels.
Okay, next question. Describe what the fiduciary responsibilities of a PNB director are and how you would exercise them on the 2015 PNB.
The fiduciary responsibilities of a PNB representative are to ensure the overall financial health of the organization is determined through conversation, representation on committees that are responsible for approving the budgets and expenses and revenue of the networks, as well as the national office and the affiliated unit, as well as the Pacifica Radio Archives, and to ensure that the motions that are presented and the passing or non-passing of those motions in no way harm the overall financial health of the organization, that the representatives at the national level that come from five cities and then the affiliates are also ensuring that decisions that are made in other arenas of the organization, i.e. governance, I'm trying to think of some of the other committees, personnel, elections, etc., at no point approve actions that would jeopardize the financial health of the organization, and that at all times the representatives are to present their actions in a method that are not personal to their individual needs, but rather to the needs of the overall fiduciary health of the organization, that being Pacifica.
Okay, next question. Describe why you want to be an affiliate director on the PNB and what you believe your major contribution in this role could be to Pacifica and the affiliates you're representing.
My interest in continuing service as a representative as an affiliate representative, is to provide opportunities for affiliate and network stations to have greater coexistence around the areas of programming, around the sharing of ideas that lead to the advancement of community-based radio, and to ensure that across the nation there is a voice for democratic governance of the airwaves and access to the airwaves. I believe the skill sets that I contribute to this board and to the activities of community-based radio are an understanding of the democratic needs for representation on the airwaves, access to the airwaves, the areas of expertise that I also represent are coexisting with communities of color from various economic and social backgrounds that lend themselves to the producing of programming content. I also bring forth experience with working with young voices, young people who have interest in gaining access and participating in an active method in community radio, not only in terms of programming, but in association with the circle of organizations and community activities that also contribute to a democratic base for community-based programming. I've had experience as general manager of a radio station, and also understand the principles necessary as a programmer to ensure that the content presented is not specific to one entity. However, it is to be general enough to attract, retain, and provide additional intellectual excitement for people across the spectrum, economically, socially, and intellectually. My experience also extends into the support of staff from an administrative perspective, and that perspective, I believe, also has the opportunity to not only serve affiliates, be it in the Midwest, but across in Native American country or in the pockets where Somalian radio exists, or wherever there is an interest in ensuring that the community has a voice to put forth democratic and socially based concepts.
Thank you.
Is that all the questions?
That's it.
We have a stack, though. How much? Do we have a stack?
Yes, we have, George will correct me if I'm wrong. According to my clock, we have about 7 minutes left.
Okay, do we have a stack to want to ask some questions? Calling a second time, is there a stack to ask questions? Third time, any questions? Okay, no questions. Margie?
Okay, hang on.
I was muted, and I do have a question.
Okay, Joy.
Well, we've still got several minutes left.
All right, Joy.
So there's been a major upheaval in the country around the police treatment of black folks and minorities generally, and the justice system's imperviousness to any kind of reasoned response to that. How do you see the affiliates and Pacifica interacting with that and doing so in a way that strengthens both those movements and as well as the network?
I see the potential for the affiliates and the network station to use the services of the audio port to share what is happening from city to hamlet to upper Midwest, upper boundary waters, territories to inform listeners to radio, be it live or through the internet or through mobile apps, of all of the elements of protest that are taking place around the current unrest and upheaval. For programmers, in instances where they may be crossing into another city or state and have an interest in participating in the active nonviolent protest movements around what is locally called Black Lives Matter, to find connections within communities through radio contacts, to know that there is a listing of the affiliate stations and the network stations on the Pacifica National website allows those who are involved in community broadcasting to make connections at different levels across the United States to become engaged at whatever level is taking place in the city or town that they are visiting, and to be able to reach across different potential schisms, political schisms, for the purpose of coming together in one effort to demand respect and righteous participation of all people in the existence of living.
Thank you.
Anyone else has a question?
Yeah, Lawrence, to the staff.
Yeah, Lawrence.
Okay, thank you, Janet, for being present and for answering those questions so articulately. In regards to migrant and immigrant issues, I know there's a big influx of Somalians and probably Spanish-speaking people. Can you give me a sense of the way your programming covers these issues in regards to
yes.
migrant justice and immigrant justice and Spanish-speaking programming?
I certainly can. KFAI was founded in 1978, and a year or 2 years later, an influx of 150,000 Hmong people were recruited by Lutheran Social Services to the Twin Cities, and they found their voice on KFAI as the first place where programming was made available to them. Since that time, the organization has expanded to have programming available in 18 distinct languages and being given airtime to be able to speak in their first-person languages, as well as interacting with others through the use of English programming. has grown to create coalitions across many communities, most recently in, recently meaning in the last 12 years, the schism between African Americans and Somalian communities has lessened considerably through the use of radio, going from the initial perspectives of African-American programmers interacting with Somalian programmers at the station level, and that one-on-one interaction has allowed there to be a much further increase in understanding of social and political mores and a greater coalition of those two specific communities working together politically to ensure that there's representation at the local and statewide level. The existence of these communities across the airwaves is also reflected in the one comment that we consistently hear, that being that those who do not understand the specific languages that are spoken by others continue to listen to the programming when there are musical interludes, because they believe that those expressions are universal, and many of the European American listeners consistently comment that while they don't know what is being specifically stated, they can use the website to get updates on what's happening in the community, and they often chuckle and say, well, I don't know what's being stated. I have a sense of what might be taking place by the inflection and the energy and the other characteristics that come across in public programming when you are listening to sound of people's voices. And ultimately, what also carries across is their heart and their sense that the airwaves are provided for access for all, not for one.
Okay, Margie, where are we on time?
We are out of time.
Okay.
And I have some breaking news. Hold on. Okay, so I guess we should let Janice go, and then she's welcome to join us. I guess, I don't know what, Janice is a member of this body. Someone has to help me. I guess she can stay on the call now. It doesn't make any difference, right? It's all on the public stream. While Janice was answering questions, I received a text from Rip Robbins, who was our next candidate, and the first text I received from him said, I decline my nomination and withdraw from consideration. So I wrote back and said, could you please tell me why? And he wrote back and said, let's see if I can work this phone. Good Lord, I'm not good at this. Here we go. And his response to that was, I would better serve by working with the affiliate program for a year before taking on board work. Thank you. So I'm sharing this information with the board. I guess we now have two candidates rather than three.
Okay.
Thank you.
Who is that?
Point of information, sir. This is Lawrence.
Yeah, Lawrence, what's your point of information?
There are two seats available, right?
Yes.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So since there's only two candidates now, can we do it by acclamation?
Sure.
Let's speak with our parliamentarian, Brian, George, and Janet Kay. You all have some comments on that. George, Brian, Janet Kay, you all want to weigh in on this?
Brian says yes.
Yeah, George. This is George.
Adriana,
Hold on, Adrian.
Okay. Did I hear Brian and George and Janet Kay? Okay. Adriana, what is it you wanted to say?
If nobody opposes, I want to make a motion that we accept the two candidates from affiliate by acclamation, if nobody opposes. That is my motion.
Is there a second? Is there a second?
A second.
Second. Is there any objection to that?
I think George was trying to speak.
George?
I was just saying I think it's the procedure is perfectly okay, and I think Adriana's motion is fine, and I support it.
Okay. Is there any objection to that motion? Without objection, we now have the two candidates to fill the affiliate director seat. Okay.
Congratulations.
Point of
information. Yes, George.
When are they seated? Is that at the January meeting?
Yeah.
I believe so. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Another point of information.
Yes, Janet K.
Well, there might be multiple January meetings. Would it be at the first one or?
I think we guess we'll have to consult the bylaws. I'm not sure. I can't.
No, this is Lydia.
Yes, Lydia.
We passed a schedule, not the last meeting, but I think the meeting before. And we had said it has to be by the end of January when the new members are seated. And let me see, that was the 29th of January.
Okay. Thank you. The next item I have on the agenda, I guess we don't have to do the balloting process since we still bypass that, is the interim executive director's report.
Okay.
Margie?
Yes, I sent the report out, and I'm happy to share it. I will also send it to Otis and ask him to post it on the webpage. I'll have to improve my writing skills if these things are going to be that broadly public anyway. I apologize. Fundraising. I'm pleased to report that Pacifica is sending out an end-of-the-year fundraising appeal. The letter is signed by Ralph Nader, and there's an endorsement from Amy Goodman, which will appear on the envelope. Hopefully, this will encourage those receiving it to open the envelope instead of tossing it aside. The letter will be posted on Pacifica's webpage, and I will keep you updated on the response. In the course of preparing for this mailing, in preparing for this letter, we learned that Pacifica's donor database required some work. Fortunately, we were able to get some assistance from staff at KPFA. Pacifica will have a cleaner and more user-friendly database going forward. I can elaborate on that if anybody cares. On Saturday, December 13th, WPFW set up a national live broadcast from the huge Black Lives Matter march in Washington, D.C. WPFW produced 5 hours of programming around the demonstration. Several stations used at least the first 2 hours of the program. The entire program will be available soon to listen to or download. Looking forward to the holidays, the Pacifica National Office will be open for the most part during the holidays. I personally will not be in the office every day, but will be available by email and cell phone. That's my report. Happy holidays.
Okay. Do we have any questions? Anyone for the staff?
Janet Kay.
Janet Kay.
Lawrence to the staff.
Lawrence.
Carolyn to the staff.
Is somebody keeping track of?
Oh, yes. That's,
I'll do that.
We have 5 minutes on this item. Okay, Janet Kay.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the staff of KPFA. I wanted you to describe, if you can, the hiring process used at KPFA to hire its temporary and occasional positions, and is an open hiring process used for these positions?
That's a good question. I'm not sure what has been done in the past, but going forward, I have asked that KPFA use an open hire process and post any positions openly, so that they would have essentially a pool of people who had applied for positions who could be called upon to fill these temporary part-time positions, and I believe that's what they're doing now?
I can answer that question if Janet wants. I was involved with the hire.
Sure, Brian, if you can briefly address that too.
Yeah, it was to fill a vacancy created by a producer being promoted. We had less than a month to do it. So we posted internally. We allowed a week for applications to come back. We allowed 2 weeks for applications to come back. We didn't do interviews. And we selected from the applications that came in, made a recommendation to the manager, and he made the temporary hires on that basis.
Actually, okay.
Janet, this wasn't about a specific one. It was a general question.
Yeah, okay. Right.
And Hank, to the stat.
Thank you.
Okay, Lawrence, then Carolyn, then Hank.
Yes, two questions. The first question is this constant consternation at KPFK by listeners and by volunteer staff and some staff in regards to the call centers or the call center at KPFK. There's been people who have been calling in and they have been completely disconnected from the call center has been completely disconnected in regards to being knowledgeable as to what our premiums are being offered and stuff like that. And then there's also the issue that there's no bilingual people at the call center. Are we going to continue to use the call centers, or are we going to do something about that?
Do you want me to respond to that? The IGM is working on that. He's very aware of this problem and is very unhappy with the situation and is going to try and fix it as soon as he can.
Okay. Carolyn?
Thank you.
Hi, thank you. I'm concerned with WBR, but perhaps all the other stations, which I don't know too much about. Cleaning up the list, we get reassurances that the list has been cleaned up, but we have no idea what that really means. Cleaning duplicates is a mechanical matter, and the United States Post Office will do that practically for free. But we need to know if people are being reminded of their responsibilities, if they're being given credit for less than a membership donation. I'd like to know exactly what measures each general manager has taken to make sure that the list is up to date and that everybody who will be sent a ballot is legitimately entitled to one, not two, but just one. And I would really appreciate just a very formal report on the status of the list at every single station, not just a general everything's okay, nothing to watch here, go home. If we could have some hard data, I'd really appreciate that.
And that's time, Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry?
That's time on that the report, unless you want to extend it.
Is there anyone who wants to extend time? Motion to extend time.
Can Margie just answer that question?
This is Kim. I move to extend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever people want.
Second that. Thank you.
Move to extend 5 minutes. Is there any objection?
I just want to point out that will put us over time to go to the executive session. That's all.
I think we need an answer, though. Thank you. I'll second the motion to extend.
Okay. Is there any objection to extend by 5 minutes? Without objection? Okay. Margie, you want to address Carolyn's concern?
I was not speaking to anybody else's lists. I was only talking about the national office list. But, in fact, I was asked by the elections committee to check with all the stations about their lists. Every station has is either thought about or has actually done some sort of year-end mailing. One of the things we did with the national office mailing was to try and make sure that we didn't include in the mailing list people who were regular donors at other stations. That it was we focused on a list of donors that were people who had given money to Pacifica in the past. You know, that's not always perfect, and so there will be people who will get appeals both from the national office and from a local station. All the stations have used this national change of address thing. It's not exactly free, but it's pretty inexpensive, and it does eliminate or it does provide you changes of address for in many instances. And some of those won't work either, but anyway, that has been done, as far as I know, at every single station. The one area that has not been completed, although all of the stations are working on it, is cleaning up the staff lists. That there are staff lists that there may be some discrepancies with staff lists, and that's being worked on. I think that's. Did I answer the question?
Thank you. I do have a follow-up, if I may.
Okay, Carolyn?
The post office's NCLA cleanup list deals with exact matches, but as we have learned in the past from Wes Radke and others, there has to be a manual cleanup of people getting two or three ballots because they have a middle initial different, or a first name used as a nickname, people with two people in the family getting one ballot, one person getting two ballots. So there has to be a manual cleanup. It's got to be a lot more rigorous than what you've described, even though I applaud that much effort. But there are other ways to go over these lists. And I really would appreciate a written report from each general manager. It's exactly what they did do. And then we can look at it and see what they ought to do just to make sure the lists are really clean. There's just too many discrepancies on these lists, and they need to be cleaned up. Is there any possibility of getting a written report from each general manager?
I can ask them.
Well, you're the IED.
you can tell them.
Let us know what they say. You can tell them. Thank you very much. That's exactly right.
Okay, next person I want to back is Hank, then Benito. Hank.
Okay. My question is probably more general, but since you're in charge of the stations more generally, I'm going to ask you, why does nobody bother sticking to a hiring freeze at one station, apparently? I mean, we passed it some months ago, and there have been people hired in many postings, and no PNB approval across the board on these things.
Margie?
Well, okay. So the motion that we passed said that either Raul or myself or the PNB had to approve hires. In general, I've interpreted that to mean that if there were any hires at the national level, that those would have to be approved by the board. Where stations had budgeted for a position and either needed to fill it or wanted to fill it on a because of certain exigent circumstances, we have approved those. But we did not many. You know, there were a number of positions, for example, at WPFW that we did not approve, and individuals have been let go at WPFW because those positions were not, we felt, appropriate given the circumstances.
That's 5 minutes, Mr. Chair.
Okay, and I believe we're also out of time if someone wants to extend down. We're past 10:30.
Benito, 5 minutes.
It's been moved. Is there a second to extend 5 minutes?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection? Without objection, we've extended 5 minutes. Benito.
Yeah, Margie, I just wanted to say that at PFW we have a problem, a long-standing problem, and I assume that other stations might have the same thing. But we have programmers who pay membership fees, And so they get a ballot as a programmer and a second ballot as a listener. So they vote in both elections.
Thank you.
That has to be corrected.
Okay, I was unaware of that situation. Thank you very much for that. I will make a note.
Okay, there's no...
Can we move the agenda?
Yes, we'll move on. The next item on the agenda is the CFO report. Raul?
Oh, well, in that case, Benito.
Hello?
Hello?
What information, Chair?
We're moving on to the CFO report.
Point of information, Chair.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Lawrence, yes, what's your point of information?
You haven't sunset the time on the CFO report. Can you tell us? Because I don't have...
We approved 15 minutes.
Okay.
I'd just like to point out that we're at time on our...
We only have 3 minutes left in our extension.
Right.
Yeah.
For the whole meeting.
So I move 15 minutes... so that we can do the report.
Is there any objection to extending 15 minutes? Without objection, we'll now go to the CFO report, 15 minutes. Raul.
All right, good evening, everyone. Well, I will start with just updating with the audit of the 2013 financial statement. Again, we're still waiting for working with the registrations to get the remainder of the audit schedules and the documentation. We are in contact with Armini now. Recent conversations with them, we found out that the continuation of the field work will be based on entirely the completeness of the documentation to avoid higher costs and the partial payment of this year's audit fees. To date, Armenino has billed the foundation $77,000 of audit and tax preparation fees. That's versus what was proposed in the original engagement letter of about $50,000 between audit and tax preparation fees. So we're way over that already. We have made initial payments of about $11,000 against the 2013 fees. There were about $28,000 still unpaid and carried over from 2012 fees. Right now, our outstanding balance with them is about $96,000. And in order to continue the field work, we have to commit some kind of payment against that. With our current financial condition, we are actually working to see where we could get the money, the funds to do this. I will report on that later. But that is with the audit. This is also the same is true with the plans for the 2014 audit. We had planned, the audit committee a couple of weeks ago had passed a motion to recommend the IAD and CFO hire CPAs or accounting professionals to ensure the preparation of these audit schedules are done to meet the March 31st deadline. We are in the process of hiring them. That will be who will be both knowledgeable in accounting as well as the Great Plains accounting software to help with the preparation of these schedules and the year-end reconciliation, both for the national office and the support for the other radio stations. It is estimated that those accounting professionals may cost up to $6,000 per month per person. We are anticipating that we probably will need at least two accounting professionals and will be on temporary assignment for at least 2.5 months. This will cost the foundation an estimated $30,000 to $40,000 through March. And since this amount is of deep concern as funds are limited, Margie and I are are kind of working with the stations, and unfortunately, the stations are also having some financial issues, which I will report later in this. On the status of the CPB, we're still working on achieving 100% compliance with the technical and legal requirements. And in conjunction with the AFRs, we anticipate that by the time we file our reports on for the deadline of March 31st, we will be in compliance with that, according to our compliance officer. The pension plans, the catch-up, our third-party administrator is still working on the 2012 and 2013 pension catch-up payments. That should have been funded by now, but due to some legal issues relating to that, our TPA's third-party administrator are still researching, and they're advising us that it's taking longer as more research is being done. They have requested more information on employees affected by this pension deposit, so we're providing that to them. On the cash and finances, since the last 2 weeks, our biggest two radio stations, KPFA and KPFK operations, are both experiencing a cash crunch that's resulted in the last December 15, 2014 payroll barely being funded for both stations. And this is, since I got here, that has never happened before. As of today, Thursday, the cash balances for these stations are very low. That funds are being monitored on a daily basis. We're kind of in a crisis mode. The National Office Management, we are working with KPFA and KPFK Management to strategize and prioritize disbursements. These low balances are due to the low pledges from the ongoing December fund drive. The funds for these two stations will be questionable in the next couple of months prior to their next fund drive in early February or late January 2015. On a station-to-station rundown, KPFA, as of yesterday, had a $77,000 balance in the bank, of which $42,000 is being reserved for the station's health care bill. This leaves a balance of about $35,000. With the coming payroll for December 31st, estimated between $65,000 to $70,000. In addition, it is estimated that pending and immediate bills are projected to be $86,000. Their December fund drive was pacing about 60% of goals. KPFA only paid 50% of the November central services and has not paid December either. KPFK, as of yesterday, had a balance of only $37,000 in the bank. The coming payroll for KPFK is estimated at $65,000 per pay period. Likewise, KPFK only paid 50% of the member central services and has not paid December 2014, the monthly fee of $36,000. There is doubt that KPFK may not be able to fully fund their December 31st, 2014 payroll. A fundraising concert is scheduled this week to augment the funds at KPFK. However, payroll runs about $130,000 per month, while healthcare bills amount to about $24,000. KPFT, on the other hand, remains to be the more stable station among Pacifica stations. They are currently current with their healthcare bill backs and central services. WBAI remains to be in a tough cash situation. As of yesterday, their balance was only $18,000, whereas payroll for December 31st is estimated at $22,000. The station has not paid November and December health care costs, as well as central services. WBAI still owes 2 months of health care bills from fiscal year 2014. Their monthly health care bills are about $9,000. So it's going to be difficult for WBA to even pay the healthcare bills for December. WPFW has a balance of 63,000 as of yesterday. Payroll is about 22,000 per pay period. So we believe that WPFW will be able to sustain their operations through their next fund drive. However, the situation will be tight towards that. Now, the cash situation in the entire network demonstrates the need for more drastic actions. The national office relies heavily on the success of this radio station to sustain its operation. The national office is also faced with the challenges of paying prior year's financial obligation. Its efforts to cut costs at the national office resulted in its ability to pay these past due bills through proper management of available funds and proper scheduling of these payments. The management team of Pacifica, that includes the executive director, CFO, the general managers, program, technical, and operational managers, are deeply concerned with the condition of Pacifica, and they are working together to come up with a solution on a national level rather than from their individual stations. They are already aware of the respective stations' financial issues and are making efforts to rectify their stations' deficiencies. However, as a group, they believe that the PNB should take more drastic actions that only PNB is able to execute and implement. And that is my report.
Richard to the stack.
Lawrence to the stack.
Who was that?
Lawrence to the stack.
Lawrence.
Hank. Did you catch George? Hank.
Who was that?
Did you catch George?
Got George?
Yeah, George is before Hank.
Okay, George was before Hank.
Point of order.
Okay. Serene, what's your point of order?
It is 10:46. We need to extend or we need to end.
This is Hank. I move to extend by 10 minutes.
We have four. We have four more minutes on the 15 minutes that we extended.
Right. Well, we can't wait for it to run before we extend, George.
I second Hank's motion.
Extend by 10 minutes. Has there been seconded? Is there any objection to extending another 10 minutes? Without objection, we'll extend for 10 minutes. I have Richard, Lawrence, Hank, and George on the stack.
And if you can put Kim on.
Okay, Kim. Richard.
George is before Hank.
I got George before Hank.
Mr. Salvador, I asked in an email not long ago about clarifying the KPFT being paid back for some accounting with a personnel share to D.C. and New York. And I went back and looked at that listened to the tape of that meeting, and it was in May of last year. And in that meeting, in your report then, you said you were going to be ready for this audit the 1st of June. That's the 1st of June. That was 6 months ago. How do you explain being that far off of what you said you're going to do?
Okay. Well, when I made the report, I had the assumption that the audit schedules made by the previous interim controller was going to be done by June 30. In fact, that's the deadline that they had with the auditors, that the schedules will be done. The initial deadline for that was April 30th, and they move it to back to June 30th. This is prior to me getting back to the national office. At that time, we did not have any access to the financial records.
But you said in that meeting that you would be ready by the 1st of June. How do you get off 6 months? How do you say that? And 6 months from that, then you still don't have it ready.
Order. Let him answer the question.
No.
Well,
okay.
Mr.
Well, I want to quickly respond to that.
Yes, Mr. Yusel, I don't know what the June 1st tape or whatever that tape was coming from, but as you have indicated, because you have claimed that I said something in a recorded message, but when I checked, it was untrue. So I don't know. I have to check again that message that you said that I mentioned, but historically, when you told me that that I said something, that I made some assurances and pledges, that was incorrect. So I don't know if you're making it up again. So I have to check. So
whoa, making it up?
Okay, Kim, you're out of.
What
did
this best?
No, so I
your homework. Is that it? Okay.
Yeah, so I have to do it. Like, if you had sent me that, I would have listened to the tape again, just like I did with your first question or inquiry. So
it's right there. All you have to do is listen. I'm not talking about listening. I'm talking about getting it done.
Well, when you're making specific, claim about certain recording, then I need to check on what was said.
No, I'm talking about you said the audit would be ready by
Mr. Chair.
Okay, Richard, we're going to wrap it up. We're going to move on. I think Roy will answer to the best of his ability your questions. The next person we have on the stack is Lawrence. Lawrence?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I was on mute. So two questions, Raul, and thank you for your report. The first has to do with KPFK, and from what I understand, there was it costs 90 cents per minute for a call center to answer the phone. If we were to go back to a regular phone room with volunteers, if you happen to have at your fingertips and a guesstimate in terms of how much money we would put back into the KPFK coffer, I appreciate. And then the second question is, you said that the PNB has to take drastic action. Can you elaborate on that in terms of what the GMs and the technical people and the operations directors have been telling you? Thank you.
First, with regards to the call centers, I totally agree that the call centers are costing us more money than we used to when we were using volunteers. We have discussions with KPFK management and local station board that it is something to look at, and I think I totally agree that with proper management and training of the volunteers that we can bring this back into where we were before, because the call centers have agents that just basically go to our website or to a credit card website and kind of input the information from the donors. We could do it ourselves with our trained volunteers. I think the key is trained volunteers. We need commitment from the volunteers in order to be successful at this. And it's definitely will save us some $20,000 to $30,000 each fund drive if we go back to using volunteers. There might be some initial training that will be costing the station minimal money, but I think that's the way to go. On the drastic actions, there were some management concession, and I think I'm not the representative of this, but I think they're drafting something to the PNB that will be sent directly to you guys, that everybody will sign up on that. And I am not in liberty to kind of preempt that prepositions, but I think they're working on it.
Next on the stack is George.
Lawrence, the second question was my question. I'll pass.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Hank.
Well, I understand people's frustration with the audit and everything. I also understand your position of being out of the office and unavailable, or having the information unavailable to you for quite some time, and then in a disarray. What I would like is your professional opinion as to what will happen
to the organization if the people responsible for raising the money refuse to do it?
Would the people refuse responsible for raising the money?
Yes. The PMB, according to California law, is the board of directors, and the board of directors has a fiduciary responsibility to raise the funds to operate an organization. When they refuse to do it, what happens to that organization?
Well,
so that's where we are right now.
Yes, that's where we are right now.
Point of order.
Excuse me, that is where we are.
Okay, but
there's no order involved.
Point
well,
of order.
When I say that, I'm sorry. When I say that's where we are, I meant in the financial condition. I didn't mean that,
that's
you know,
what I mean.
To evaluate the performance of the board of directors. But I would say that we are in dire need of fundraising, and it's everybody's fiduciary duties, including myself, to find ways to raise funds and at least maintain the foundation's ability to function on a day-to-day basis. Obviously, it's expected from everybody, including the National Board, to create some initiatives to create these funds. And I don't know what the repercussion of not providing doing that. With respect to the management team, who is also and primarily, in my opinion, responsible to generating funds for their stations, I think that should be handled in their performance evaluation. And I think